Amber Forbes thinks everybody has a story. Actually, Amber knows everybody has a story. That's why she's helped start the storytelling group. That's what she said. The series opens its third season Saturday night at Sunrise Stage in Fayetteville. Amber came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio this week to give us a preview of the five nights ahead in the 2017-18 season. She says she moved back to Arkansas after being part of a storytelling group in North Carolina and realized that no such group existed here. She reached out to friends, including KUAF's Lee Wood, to form That's What She Said. She says there are several elements to be curated before each show.
So there's the writing part, there's the telling part, and the performance part. And all of that can be terrifying for people. Because they say, I have a good story, but it's just one thing that happened in a vacuum almost in their mind. So the writing part is what was going on before, what was going on after, and how do you merge the whole thing to get a full story. We begin probably a month and a half, starting to make drafts and being in touch with each other through a shared document like Dropbox or something. I think Dropbox is what we use. So we start looking at each other's stories, asking questions, and then we begin to workshop. And so twice a week, about a month before the show starts, we get all together and we read the stories and we start talking about what the problems are. And that can be, it's not harsh, but it's hard to realize, oh, I got to start over or I've got to fix this. And then 2 weeks later, we begin rehearsing two, and then as it gets closer, three times a week.
And then you have to make sure that it doesn't seem rehearsed.
Yes. Then you have to look natural, like you're just telling it off the top of your head.
It sounds difficult.
It is. It's very difficult. But it's been awesome to watch people get so good at it. The people that have been in multiple shows, they just get better and better.
Yeah, there are people who have told more than one story.
Oh, yes.
Then sometimes there's someone who has a story they want to tell. You work with them, they tell it once, and we don't see them again.
Right, and then they're done. And then we have people that come out of the woodwork and, I mean, I don't think anybody's only wanted to tell one story. Once you do it and find out that you can, then I think it's a little bit of a bug. And then we have, luckily, two or three new readers come on so far every season. So we get to kind of build our base of storytellers. It gets a little larger every season.
What makes a good story?
Truth. An experience that really touched you or changed you. And everybody has those. That's the best part.
But everybody doesn't think they have those.
Right. Most people don't. Even people who are veterans at this, I'll use Harrison Butler as an example. Harrison, again and again, will say, I don't think I have anything for this one. I don't think so. But all you do is sit down with Harrison and say, Harrison, tell me about sixth grade or whatever. And he can come up with it. Anybody can. But the fact that he's done it so many times and will still say that is hilarious.
Often the shows have a theme.
Always, yes.
Always have a theme. How do you determine the themes? Do the stories kind of come first? Does someone realize that two readers might have something that links and then you try to go further? Or do you just say, no, we're doing Halloween. Let's find some Halloween stories.
We do both. We have written entire shows based on one person's story that has
so
to be
good.
Told. Because it was so good. We had to get other people to just put something together for this. But this is the real story. But we also sit around. There's about seven of us that are the core group. And we talk a lot and see each other a lot. So we'll be, if we think of a theme, we'll just put it on the list. And then last year in the summer, once the season was over, we went and had a retreat together. And we came up with all of the themes for the next year, the readers that we knew already would be in. And then sometimes they're just off the wall and we see who we can catch with that theme. Strippers might be a good example. Our second show is strippers. And it turns out everybody's got a good stripper story.
What? So third season, we'll have strippers for the second. What else? They're not secrets, are they?
No, they're okay. Out there. We've got Horrible Bosses coming up, and then we've got Strippers is the second show. And then we've got Freshman Year.
Ooh.
I know. It makes everyone cringe. Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We've got One Bad Trip. And now I can't remember what the last one is. It'll come to me. But those are four of them. We have five.
You mentioned that truth is at the heart of a good story. When we think of the term fishing story, we think of something that begins with truth, but, you know, the fisherman might have,
right,
by the end, changed a few things, artistic license. How much of that are you concerned with your storytellers?
Because most of what happens in our stories is self-deprecation, if anything is exaggerated, it's usually just how ridiculous or dumb one of us was in that situation. It's difficult to explain, but the truth of the facts of the story really never change, except for names or anything that could identify a possible victim in the listening world that does not want to be implicated.
Well, interesting you bring that up, because I hear the term horrible bosses. For the first one, I'm thinking, well, gosh, some of those horrible bosses might still be walking around in,
yes,
Arkansas.
They might. So we work really hard to not have any now. I mean, that's something that's new about this season, is that we've been busted. So before.
Busted?
Yes. We had a show where someone that was in the story who had been identified by their first name was sitting in the audience and was not impressed and came right up to the stage and said, hey, I'm right here. And the storyteller had to issue a very sincere apology. Luckily, it worked out, but we learned our lesson.
Should be mentioned that these sessions can be R-rated?
Yes, absolutely.
Dealing with adult topics often? Well, we did mention that the second one is strippers, so.
Pretty much only, I mean, very juvenile adults, but definitely adults, yes.
What was it like for the first time you told a story?
It was, that day was the most panic-inducing and anxious that I've ever been, because I had been to other very good storytelling shows. The one in North Carolina was very well produced and curated. So I would watch them and think, how does anyone get up there and do that? That is terrifying. But what happens actually quite a bit, everyone's different, but what happened for me, and I've seen happen for others, is you panic until the moment you step on the stage. And then kind of a calm, you have to do it. You're there, you've committed, and you want to do it. And what happens is once you come out, take the mic, and realize, I can do it, I know my story, and I'll be fine. And I've never seen anything else happen. We've never had someone not be able to do it, and to do it very well, in my
opinion. You've walked them through.
Oh, yeah, so many times.
I hesitate to bring this up because I really don't think it matters, but the pronoun in the series is feminine. That's what she said.
Yes.
It is, not exclusively by any imagination, but predominantly female women,
yes,
storytellers. Does that matter? Should we take any note of that?
We take note because when we, of course, it was actually a very juvenile man that was helping us to come up with the name that threw that one out there and it stuck. And it was after we had decided, let's keep it, let's do it, that we realized, well, if you heard that phrase in a different way, it could mean literally only what all the she's are saying. But we have a few men that perform and quite a few men that come. So I think we shake that off pretty quickly.
And you don't have to mention names. Are there people around the area that you wish would participate? Because you know they have stories, but you just can't get them in?
I know you have a story, because I have an insider. yes. There are quite a few people that I know personally or peripherally that I think have a good story. But I will say that with enough pestering and fluffing, that we've managed to rope in two that I really wanted for this season. So I think that the more civilians that come in and do it, the better we'll become at being able to recruit. Because it is very scary, and I understand that. And it's lots of people just don't want to share,
sure,
their business in front of a group,
sure,
which I get.
Does anyone ever run up to you and say, oh, I've got a story now? Has that started happening?
At shows, yeah. Yes. That has happened. And that's how we, Coy and Beverly both were people that approached us after a show and ended up being in later shows and doing a wonderful job. I think people in the audience usually know instinctively if they would be good at this. It's just a matter of getting the courage up to go sign up.
Do I say break a leg?
Yes, I think that's right.
Okay. Well, break a leg.
Thank you.
For the first show and for season 3.
Great.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me on.
Amber Forbus is a co-founder and co-organizer of That's What She Said, a storytelling group opening a third season Saturday night at a new venue for the group, Sunrise Stage, on College Avenue in Fayetteville. The theme for Saturday night's show is Horrible Bosses, and the show begins at 8. You can find out more, including ticketing opportunities, at twshesaid.com or their Facebook page.